Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Oz Guinness, who within the Christian community wears a lot of hats, theologian, apologist, scholar, once said, "Truth does not yield to opinion, fashion, numbers, office, or sincerity. It is simply true, and that is the end of it. It is one of the permanent things." In yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about an article that appeared in the Deseret News. It was titled, "What is Truth? Why Pontius Pilate's Question Still Resonates Today." And this was posted on January 10th, 2019, if you want to check it out. But it raised a lot of very good questions about how the pursuit of truth seems to be ignored by a lot of people in our culture today. It cited, for instance, a scholar by the name of Abdu Murray, who works with Ravi Zacharias Ministries, who said that Americans have not lost the ability to discern truth, but have gotten better at ignoring it. And unfortunately, that seems to be true in a lot of various areas. And we certainly do find in our ministry to the Latter-day Saint people that many of them, when confronted with what we believe to be truth that can be verified by evidence, tend to want to ignore it. And this is why you have some Latter-day Saints, when you're trying to talk to them, will say, "Well, I don't care what evidence you have, I believe this anyway." And they'll use the excuse of the Holy Spirit confirming it to them. "Well, the Spirit tells me," for instance, as we closed our show yesterday, that Joseph Smith had an encounter with God the Father in Jesus in the spring of 1820, even though the evidence does not support that date, and certainly the Bible does not support the event as a whole. Unless, of course, Joseph Smith is the only one who can honestly claim that he had an encounter with God the Father and lived to tell about it, even though his own translation of the Bible, the Joseph Smith translation, in Exodus 33:20, says that that's impossible. So you would have to ignore that evidence in order to hold to that conclusion. Well, today we want to carry this thought a little bit further. Because in the December 2018 edition of Ensign Magazine, on pages 54 to 57, it was a short article, but it was written by Carrie Muhlstein. Carrie Muhlstein is a professor of ancient scripture at BYU, at Brigham Young University, and he is an Egyptologist who believes that the Book of Abraham should be believed, at least for what Joseph Smith said about it. The article is titled, "The Book of Abraham, Revelation, and You." And he says some things in his opening paragraphs that I think we need to examine because, in our opinion, he exhibits what we would say is one of the huge flaws in Latter-day Saint reasoning.
And we talked about it yesterday that people will oftentimes accept what their presuppositions tell them because it's more convenient. People don't want to believe things that may go against the way that they previously thought. I think a lot of atheists are mad at God for whatever reason, and so they end up losing all faith because to have a God, they don't want to serve, and so they're more tending to go in the other direction to go to their agnostic and atheist ideas. And I think in Mormonism, because so much of what Mormonism stresses from Moroni chapter 10, the idea that you pray about this to see if it's true, and that's what the missionaries are going to tell people, it's so subjective. And so I think naturally Mormons are going to want to receive their feelings because they want Mormonism to be true, not necessarily that the facts show that it is true.
Now, one of the things that you and I both said when we were doing our prep for this show is, why in the world would the church want to bring this out to the forefront again? Because we've noticed that you rarely ever hear about the Book of Abraham in conference messages anymore.
No.
Because it has become such a controversial issue. And even this article, at the beginning of the article, it has a huge image of facsimile one in the Pearl of Great Price showing, according to Joseph Smith at least, Abraham, the patriarch Abraham, laying on a lion-headed couch with an image of a human with a knife in their hand getting ready to sacrifice Abraham. This is one of the huge controversies of facsimile one. We should mention that the papyri that Joseph Smith had was not complete, and what makes this controversial is somebody drew in the area that was missing this image of some being on their back on a lion-headed couch with this human-looking person standing over them with this knife. Now, we should mention, to give you a little bit of background, what is the Book of Abraham, and why would we think that Kerry Muhlstein would want to address this? It's because it is a part of Mormon scripture. According to the Gospel Topics essay put out by the LDS Church called Translation and Historicity of the Book of Abraham, it says that in the summer of 1835, an entrepreneur named Michael Chandler arrived at church headquarters in Kirtland, Ohio, with four mummies and multiple scrolls of papyrus. Chandler found a ready audience. Due partly to the exploits of the French Emperor Napoleon, the antiquities unearthed in the catacombs of Egypt had created a fascination across the Western world. Chandler capitalized on this interest by touring with ancient Egyptian artifacts and charging visitors a fee to see them. Eventually, what happens is he goes to where Joseph Smith is at the time in Kirtland, Ohio, and people see these mummies and these scrolls that accompany these mummies, and they end up putting their money together to purchase this display so that their founding prophet, Joseph Smith, can translate these scrolls into English. Throughout most of Mormonism's history, Latter-day Saints were led to believe that Joseph Smith translated from the Egyptian papyri into its English equivalent. That's what they were told. But that's not what the Mormon Church is teaching today.
And why would they think that, Bill? Because if you go to the Book of Abraham, found in the Pearl of Great Price, and right next to this, in my version of the triple combination, is the facsimile from the Book of Abraham, number one, as you mentioned earlier. But this is what it says in the introduction. Translated from the papyrus by Joseph Smith, a translation of some ancient records that have fallen into our hands from the catacombs of Egypt. The writings of Abraham while he was in Egypt, called the Book of Abraham, written by his own hand upon papyrus. And then it refers to the history of the church in volume 2. So what is a translation? But it's from one language into another. And until the 21st century, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Bill, and say 90% plus of all Latter-day Saints, if you were to ask them, what is the Book of Abraham? They would say, well, it's a translation from ancient records that Joseph Smith received that he was able to take from that ancient papyri and move it into English. Well, that's not what the church is saying any longer. So this is, I think, important for us, as we're talking about this article, to explain that the Book of Abraham, I believe, has caused more people to leave the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints than any other single issue. And that includes the seer stone that Joseph Smith was looking at in a hat. That includes the polygamy of Joseph Smith. There's a lot of different reasons why people leave, but my experience has shown that the Book of Abraham has caused more people to leave.
Well, let's go back to the Gospel Topics essay, Eric. It says under the subheading Translation and the Book of Abraham, it says the Book of Abraham was the last of Joseph Smith's translation efforts. In these inspired translations, Joseph Smith did not claim to know the ancient languages of the records he was translating. Now, when you hear that word inspired translation, you could easily think, well, okay, Joseph Smith did not know the Egyptian language, but God allowed him by inspiration to take what was on the Egyptian papyri and translate it into the English equivalent. But that's not what the church is insisting. No, it was an inspired translation in that it had nothing to do with the characters that were on the papyri. Joseph Smith merely tells us what he thinks it says when it didn't say that at all. I had this guy calling my office several times arguing, and this is why I could not take him seriously, that basically what Joseph Smith did with the Book of Abraham was not to translate from the Egyptian language into English or an English equivalent. But instead of translating what it actually said, he insisted that Joseph Smith translated what it should have said. Well, you can see how fast and loose you're playing with the word translation when you say something like that. In my opinion, that kind of an explanation is really difficult to falsify. It's all about what Joseph Smith wants it to say, and you can't question him because you automatically assume he's telling the truth because you think he's a prophet of God.
Bible translators, when they go to the original Greek, the Koine Greek and the Hebrew, and they take a look at what the best and most reliable manuscripts say, are taking those words and trying their best to understand what the original author was saying to put it into the language that people can understand. That's why we have so many different English translations. There are different ways of being able to translate it, especially as language does change. But there's no such thing as an inspired translation if it's not what the original author was actually trying to say in the first place.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. If they were to say that an inspired translation means what I had explained earlier, that God allowed him, without any real academic knowledge of the language, to translate from the Egyptian into English, its English counterpart, I would go, wow, that's kind of amazing. But that's not what the church is saying, folks. So when you hear that phrase, inspired translation, you need to understand they don't believe it's an English equivalent at all. In fact, now they're admitting it's not an English equivalent, even though we would probably venture to say that the great majority of Latter-day Saints, at least for the first half of Mormonism's existence, were led to believe exactly that. So now you understand why so many people, as Eric has explained, have come to lose faith in Mormonism when they find out that it's not an English equivalent like they were led to believe. And we still find people like that today who have left their faith in Mormonism because of that.
And the question is, if he could not translate the Book of Abraham with papyrus we do have, then how do we know that he was able to translate the Book of Mormon, which we don't have those gold plates any longer?
And that argument is the same argument that Dr. Hugh Nibley, a Mormon scholar who's been passed away for several years now, he made that same case. He said if it could be shown that Joseph Smith was wrong in this area, it would also lay a huge doubt in the Book of Mormon that he also claimed to translate as well. And that is exactly what is happening. People are having doubts because of the Book of Abraham. So when Carrie Muhlstein writes this article, The Book of Abraham, Revelation and You, he's going to try and convince the faithful Latter-day Saint that despite what the scholars may say about the Book of Abraham, you need to believe it anyway, that this is in fact something that God has given his people, his members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.